The Gospel of Isaiah, Chapter 24. The Crown of Shame and the Crown of Glory. Woe to the proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim, and to the fading flower of their glorious beauty, to those that are at the head of the rich valley, that are stupefied with wine. Behold the mighty one, the exceeding strong one. Like a storm of hail, like a destructive tempest, like a rapid flood of mighty waters pouring down, he shall dash them to the ground with his hand. They shall be trodden underfoot, the proud crowns of the drunkards of Ephraim, and the fading flower of their glorious beauty, which is at the head of the rich valley, shall be as the early fruit before the summer, which whoso sees, he plucks it immediately, and it is no sooner in his hand than he swallows it. In that day shall Jehovah God of hosts become a beauteous crown, and a glorious diadem, to the remnant of his people, and a spirit of judgment, to them that sit in judgment, and strength to them that repel the war to the gate of the enemy. But even these have erred through wine, and through strong drink they have reeled. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are overwhelmed with wine. They have reeled through strong drink. They have erred in vision. They have stumbled in judgment. For all their tables are full of vomit, of filthiness, so that no place is free. Whom, say they, would he teach knowledge, and to whom would he impart instruction? To such as are weaned from the milk, as are kept back from the breast? For it is command upon command, command upon command, line upon line, line upon line, a little here, and a little there. Yea, verily, with a stammering lip and a strange tongue, he shall speak unto this people. For when he said unto them, This is the true rest, give rest unto the weary, and this is the refreshment, they would not hear. Therefore shall the word of Jehovah be indeed unto them, command upon command, command upon command, line upon line, line upon line, a little here, and a little there, that they may go on, and fall backward, and be broken, and snared, and caught. There are several different renderings of the first verses of this chapter. The student will see that the first verse differs somewhat in Loth's translation from what it is in the common version. The revised version, however, seems to be more consistent than any other, in that it keeps one subject throughout. In this it is the proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim, which is the fading flower of his glorious beauty, and which stands at the head of the fat valley. In the others it would seem that the woe is pronounced against the crown of pride, and against the drunkards of Ephraim, as well. There is, in fact, however, no difference, for since the crown of pride which stands at the head of the fat valley is undoubtedly the city of Samaria, it follows that the drunkards of Ephraim suffer in the woe pronounced against her, keeping the promise in view. Let no one think, because this prophecy specifies Ephraim and the city of Samaria, which long since ceased to have any importance as a city, that it is merely local, and all in the past. Look ahead in the chapter, and it will be seen that the destruction threatened against Ephraim is the consumption, determined upon the whole earth. Remember that the earth was given to man in the beginning. It was to be the possession of a perfect people. Therefore, when God brought his people out of Egypt, and gave them the lands of the heathen, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws, it was in fulfillment of the promise to Abraham that he and his seed should possess the earth. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. All of God's dealing with his people, no matter how localized, had reference to the one great promise. This was the thing that God always had in view. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. At any time up to the captivity of Judah, the people might have had the fulfillment of the promise in the resurrection. And whenever God tells of judgments that shall come upon them because of their disobedience, it involves the whole earth. When God punishes those who have been his people, because they have become like the heathen, it follows that he will at the same time punish the heathen themselves, the fading flower of man's glory. Keeping those principles always in mind, we may read this prophecy as applying to us, that is, to the professed people of God in this day, no matter what their name. The glory of those who lift up themselves in pride shall be as a fading flower. For all flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And the fading flower of their glorious beauty, which is at the head of the rich valley, shall be as the early fruit before the summer, which whoso sees, he plucks it immediately, and it is no sooner in his hand than he swallows it. So quickly will be the destruction of those who exalt themselves against God, and boast of their own security. The day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The crown of glory. What a glorious prospect is held out in verses 5 and 6. When the crown of pride shall be trodden underfoot, and the glorious beauty of the transgressors shall be a fading flower. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory, and for a diadem of beauty, unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sits in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. The residue is the remnant, and the remnant shall be saved. God is from everlasting to everlasting. Therefore those who have him for their crown of glory have a crown, which fades not away. The heavens and the earth shall wax old like a garment, but he remains the same, and his years do not fail. Since God is to be the crown of glory to his people in the day of destruction to all in which haughty men boast, it is plain that in God alone should men trust and make their boast now. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, either let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things do I delight, says the Lord. The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised, has God chosen, yeah, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that, according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. The Lord is to be the crown of glory to his people. He himself is to be the only ornament that his people will wear. Their adorning must be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. This crown of glory will not be appreciated by the world. Indeed, the world may scoff at those who wear it, even as they did at Christ himself. The world knows us not, because it knew him not. When Christ was on earth he had no form nor comeliness. When men saw him, they thought, there is no beauty in him, that we should desire him. Therefore, we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. Yet he had glory that could be seen by those who had eyes for it, even the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. But it was the glory of grace and truth. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. When the Lord comes, those who have this beauty, the beauty of holiness, will shine forth as the sun. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Those who will now show such appreciation of the beauty of the Lord that they will be content with it, and not put a slight upon it by seeking to supplement it with the adorning of the world, even though they be considered plain, have the assurance that through all eternity they will be as beautiful as the heavens. The Spirit of Judgment. The time is coming when the saints shall judge the world, and angels as well. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? They will surely need the very best judgment then. Therefore the Lord of hosts will be for a spirit of judgment to him that sits in judgment. It will be no human judgment that will be exercised in that day, but the judgment of the Lord himself, working in men. But the fact that this perfect judgment is to be exercised by the saints in glory is set forth as the reason why they should not now act foolishly. God will now be judgment to those who trust him, as well as in the day of final judgment. Just as it will be his Spirit that speaks in his children when they are called upon to answer for the hope that is in them, so will he now be wisdom and judgment for them in all the affairs of life. And all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. But let it be remembered that this spirit of judgment is but the manifestation of the spirit of meekness with which God's people are adorned. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Is it not better to acknowledge that we have no wisdom at all, and to have the wisdom of God, which is perfect, than to boast of our independence, and be left to act foolishly? In other words, is it not much better to act wisely, and give God the credit, than to act foolishly, and take all the credit to ourselves? The wine of Babylon. But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. God says that the priest and the prophet, as well as the people, have erred through wine, and are out of the way through strong drink, and that therefore, they stumble in judgment. This is too true in the most literal sense, for it is a sad fact that very many professed Christians, including many who call themselves ministers of the Lord, are often filled with wine in which is excess, rather than with the Spirit. But there is a wine, against the use of which no temperance society that has ever yet been formed has ever protested, and that is the wine of Babylon, the wine of worldly pride. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. It is very easy for Christians to become intoxicated with the prospect of worldly fame and applause, and thus to depart from the simplicity of the faith. Proud Babylon, the Church of Rome, whose religion is outward pomp and worldly prosperity and political power, is but the aggregate of the working of the spirit of worldliness in individuals. Beware of this form of drunkenness, lest you beware. All the tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Compare with, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Those who are drunken with the wine of their own pride, and who, trusting in their own wisdom, scorn to be directed by the plain and simple word of God, the sincere milk of the word, say contemptuously, whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Them that are weaned from the milk, and drawn from the breasts. For it is precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, and there a little. Vain in their imaginations, and puffed up with the pride of their own opinions, thinking themselves competent to sit in judgment upon the Bible, men resent being taught like little children. Yet, in no other way can they enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verily I say unto you, except you be converted, and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Men of the world, professing themselves to be wise, choose to reason things out, to work up complex systems of belief. Children, however, learn by accepting simple statements of fact. The child grows in knowledge merely by believing, and consequently it grows rapidly. At no other period in a person's life does he learn so much, and so rapidly as in the first 3 or 4 years, when he takes everything by faith. Afterwards, as he gradually comes to years of understanding, that is, as he thinks that he must manufacture wisdom, instead of receiving it as a gift from God, his progress is much slower. But God designs that his children shall always remain little children, so that their progress in wisdom may be as great in later years as in the beginning. So he will continue to teach by giving precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, and there a little. Constant repetition of simple truths which, although simple, contain infinity, is the way to acquire the wisdom which is from above. But how about the statement that this sort of teaching is to be given to the people, that they might go and fall backward, and be broken, and snared, and taken? That is the same thing for which Jesus gave thanks, saying, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and prudent, and have revealed them unto babes. Men go with heads lifted up so high, looking so far off for wisdom, that they stumble over simple truth lying at their feet. Is it not a thing to be thankful for, that the only way the Lord makes the way of life hard for anybody is by making it easy? How can any of the wise men of earth, who stumble and fall over the teaching of the Lord, accuse him of injustice in his dealing with them, when that which he set forth before them was so simple that a babe could understand it? To say that the way of life was too hard for them would be to deny all their pretensions to wisdom, and to confess that they did not know as much as the babes. No, there is no excuse. The only reason why any err from the truth is that they will not hear. God not only offers them rest and peace, but says, "This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." But they refuse to hear. He would make them fellow workers with himself, but they will not. Let us not refuse to learn the lesson. See that you refuse not him that speaks.